This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Well, Pastor Allen will be back next Sunday, and today is my opportunity and my joy to share with you the Word of God. And we're going to look at, in the New Testament, it mentions six different times to make every effort. We're going to look at those six times that Jesus encourages us or challenges us to make extra or every effort. I found in my walk with the Lord, occasionally it takes some extra effort, or I need to make some effort to continue to grow in my walk with God in certain areas. I don't know about you, but that's my life. So I'm going to share a little bit about those extra efforts or making every effort that it takes to continue our walk with the Lord. When I think of making an effort, I think that that word effort, it inspires us when we see it. When we see somebody making an extra effort, it inspires, it motivates, sometimes it challenges us. When I was a teenager, I watched this guy in the movies, and when I saw him make that extra effort, man, it really motivated me. So Nate said he's from the 80s, I'm from the 50s. Let's watch a little clip, all right? Of course, that's Rocky Balboa, the Italian Stallion, all right? For those of you that never saw the movie, yeah, we used to wear sweats like that. Remember the movie Rocky? He was a nobody boxer, and he gets an opportunity to fight the world champ through current events and all the rest that happened. And so Rocky says, I need a little bit extra effort, so he goes and pounds some meat and does the one-handed push-ups. How many of you guys ever tried those one-handed push-ups like me? I was going to do a couple of them for you this morning, but then I would have had to preach from the floor. So I decided to skip that. But it motivates. When we see extra effort, it really does inspire us. That's why us guys like those movies. You ever watch the movies, guys, the action-packed movies? And the good guy looks like he's getting beat. I mean, he's just getting pummeled. The villain or the bad guy's taking advantage of him. And it looks like there's no energy. It looks like it's all over. He's defeated. And all of a sudden in the movie, you know what happens? What? The music starts. Dun, 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 dun. And what is the good guy? He gets what? That extra surge of what? Energy. And all of a sudden he comes back from doomsday and he beats up the guy or the villain and off they go happily ever after. For you ladies that watch Hallmark movie, it's when the guy moves away from the gal, goes back to the big city, sells everything, moves back to Maine and marries her. So that's how it is. Extra effort that it requires. All right? So that's how, when we see that, what does it do? It charges us up. So what about your Christian walk and my Christian walk? We're going to examine those six times in the Bible that God says to make every effort. Before we do that, we're going to look at how Jesus modeled it in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. He talked about this way, and Jesus said this, and Jesus kept on increasing. He kept growing. He kept making the effort. He kept increasing in wisdom, stature, and favor with God, and favor with men. In fact, that word increase there, it means to advance or to keep cutting one's way forward as through a forest or a jungle. Now, I don't know if you've ever had that experience to cut your way through a forest or jungle, but I had that opportunity early in my ministry. I was a youth pastor early on in the first couple years of ministry, and our youth group had exploded and began to grow, and they asked us to go to Panama and go on a missions trip. And so my senior pastor and I, we went down to Panama, and he was doing the main adult services, and I was doing youth crusades for about three or four nights. And our missionary that we were with, David Spencer, he said, hey, you guys want a real treat? He goes, we started this church over in the San Blas Islands, and this is primitive people. They have no running water, no electricity on the island. It's all just native. You sleep on a hammock, you know, the whole thatched huts and the whole deal. And I'm like, yeah, I'm game, man. Let's go for it. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. He goes, well, there's a plane that takes off from Panama City and flies over to the San Blas Islands, and these Kuna Indians live there. And these Kuna Indians only are about this high. and this tall. And so he goes, once a week, a plane flies over there and sees if anybody wants picked up to go back to the mainland for any business need to take care of, or we take a Kuna Indian with us. So let's take off on Thursday. Let's do this. I said, absolutely. Let's go for this thing. So we were there, and we're in a little prop plane, and it should have gave me a hint when the pilot was 55 minutes late. We were already in this little prop plane, waiting for the pilot. There's a little Kuna Indian going back to his San Blas Islands, sitting next to him, the missionary, my senior pastor, myself, and the luggage all around us. And it is monsoon season. I mean, it is raining on and off. And so we take off, and it's like that little plane that somebody has that's a little toy plane. It takes off, sounds like it's, you know what I mean? I'm going, really? And we take off, and it starts pouring. And what should have taken a 20-minute trip, we were circling, circling. We were up in the air about 40 minutes, and I knew something wasn't right because we kept going around. What it was on that island, there's no radar or anything. You couldn't find the airport because it was raining so hard. In fact, it was raining so hard, there was a little crack between the doors there, and the rain was going in and just soaking my left shoulder. That's how hard it was raining. So we're circling, and all of a sudden, we're circling, 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 all of a sudden, we're nosediving. I mean, we are heading straight down. And I mean, talking about getting close to God, you know? It was like, here I come, Jesus, you know? And I looked over, and the missionary, he's praying in spirit, you know, senior pastor, he's praying in spirit. He didn't even want to come on the trip. He's praying in the spirit. I'm in the back. You know, this could be it. So we hit this dirt road, and on the mainland, I thought it was in the island. We hit this dirt, and all of a sudden, he turns the plane sideways, and mud starts flying everywhere. Flying. We stop about 10 feet from going into the ocean. Pilot thought, no big deal. He flies open the door, grabs his newspaper, puts his feet out. He's reading the newspaper. We get out. We're jumping on the ground. We're kissing the ground. We're worshiping God. We made it. We're safe, the whole deal. Only to find out it wasn't the island that we should have been at. We had to do all over again. Anyhow, long story short, we were there on that island. What a great experience it was. And the second day there, and there's a little Kuna Indians in the San Blas Islands, he said, you want to go over to our tribal burial ground? It's over in the mainland. We have to canoe over. No motors, no nothing. So we had two guides, two of us in canoes, and we paddled over to the mainland. We're over in the mainland, and the guys get out their machetes because they got to thatch it up through. It's rainy season, so it has grown over the path up to their tribal burial ground, which is a three-mile hike up the mountains. And so for 3 miles, this increase, cutting one's way through the forest, these guys are doing every effort to cut through the forest. I mean, they're going at it, going at it, going at it, and I'm just loving it. We're seeing monkeys flying over us, you know, and toucan birds and parrots, and I mean, you see all kinds of different animals and wildlife, and I'm just checking it all out, what I could see, and they're still cutting my way through. We get up to the top, and all their effort was well worth it. We get up to the top of that mountain, you can see for miles and miles and miles, peaceful and quiet, just like it got in here. And you could just look over and just, man, the beauty of it all. And then I looked, and what they do in their tribal burial grounds is they bury their families on stacked on top of each other, and they put a table there. And occasionally, they'll bring food and put it on their table, and they think their ancestors come up and eat it. Well, what I looked at and I saw was these big paws all around the tables. I said to our missionary, I said, what is the paws? And he said, oh, that's tigers. I said, you mean we've been thatching up this three-mile hike and there's tigers just looking at me for dinner? And he said, probably, you know, and all we had is a machete. But that experience was incredible. And you know what that's like in our Christian walk as well? Sometimes it takes, what, effort in our Christian walk? Man, I got to keep going. I got to keep praying. I got to keep getting in Project 345. I got to keep coming to church. Some of you, it took a lot of effort even to get to church today, to get your family here. It's like cutting through the what? Through the forest, through the jungle. But I guess what? When you keep on doing that day after day, doing the right things day after day, living for God the right way day after day, when you get to the top, God says there's peace there. Peace there. We got to do our part at times in this Christian walk. So six different times. Are you ready? In the Bible, it talks about making every effort. If you're taking notes, the first one is this. Make every effort to have integrity. Make every effort to have integrity. In 2 Peter 3, it says this. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. What's he talking about? He's talking about walking the talk. He's talking about living for God on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He says, man, are you living the life that I challenge you to live? Are you being the man and the woman of God? Are you being a man and woman of integrity? Are you the same when you're here at church as you are throughout the week? How many know in our world today that's a struggle for so many of us? How do I connect the dots on Monday? How do I keep on living for God on Tuesday? In fact, we have a men's class on Wednesday night that we teach, and we're taking a very tough subject this summer, and we thought, man, I wonder if any of the guys are going to show up. We have 50, 60 guys every week in that room, and we share the lesson, and the guys break it down and say, man, this is how it's happening in my life. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I looked over at one of the tables, and one of our big guys, man, he's there, and he's just pouring out his heart saying, talking about this very thing. He says, man, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but it's hard to do that every single day. Have you found out in your Christian walk? Hard to do it every day. He says, man, I need you guys to support me. I need encouragement. I need accountability in it. So the guys were praying for him and encouraging him. We have a lot of our classes that can help you grow in your walk with God. How many know every now and then in our lives with Christ, it takes a little bit of extra, effort. Make every effort to live with integrity. Even in our world today that comes against it in every angle, live with integrity. The second one is this. Make every effort to forgive others. I love the scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. It says this. Make every effort to live in peace with all men. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Let me ask you, how many of them are out there that are the win at no cost people? I mean, you have to win every argument. You're the ones that are out there. You're the ones that, man, if it's going to happen, I'm going to make it happen. It says this, in life, we are going to get hurt intentionally sometimes or unintentionally. Hurt's going to come our way. We have a choice to forgive or not to forgive. We have a choice to get bitter, and that scripture says a root of bitterness grows up. If that root of bitterness grows up inside of us, it doesn't help us to become better, does it? Helps us to become bitter. And so in your life and my life, it says make every, if at all possible, guys, forgive other people. And you say, man, you don't understand, Pastor Bob, what has happened in my life. I have a hard time forgiving my spouse for this, or I have a hard time forgiving my boss, or I have a hard time forgiving my mom or my dad, or I have a hard time forgiving my neighbor or my business partner. Man, what is it? Man, it's hard to forgive. That's why God says, man, make what? Every effort. As if you're cutting through the jungle. It takes work to forgive at times. But there's also healing when we forgive. And it can be simple things. I know in Joyce and my relationship, at times we'll come into an argument. And we've learned how to fight, not to fight, but to just kind of share our opinions. And every now and then, I just got to be right. How many of you are my right people? I'm going to be right. I'm going to fight till I'm right. And I can out-argue her. I can out-talk her. And after a while, she just backs down, whatever, you're right, you know. And she doesn't really believe it, but she said it, you know, just to cut the argument. But it says in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, would you rather be right or reconciled? See, I can dig my feet in. I can be right. I know it was this. And she can dig her feet in over here and says, no, it was this. And we can go back and forth on any silly little thing. Till we look at it and go, is it really rather be right or I'd rather be reconciled? There's advantages of being reconciled. You have peace in your heart. As God says, as you've been forgiven, forgive what? Others freely. So the first one is integrity. Second one is forgive others. And the third one is this. Make every effort to relax and trust God. Man, some of you need to hear this morning. This is the relax and trust God. It said in Hebrews 4:11, anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work. He's talking about us workaholics. Just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter God's rest. This is what I call relaxed concern. This is when we are doing all that we can for the situation. We're doing all we can in our walk with God. And then we turn it, what? The rest over to God. See, God wants us to do our part. I know people that have lost jobs, and they're saying, man, I'm just waiting at home praying, asking God to give me my job. I said, well, did you put out your resume? Nope. Did you go out and find anything? Nope. Are you looking anywhere? Nope. How many of God wants you to do your part? And as you do all you can, then you trust God, and then God's going to do His what? His part. It's working together on that. And so on this relaxed concern, it's trusting and relaxing God. I know some of you out there are my worry warts. I mean, you worry about everything, right? Some of you out there, you're worried. In fact, you worry why you worry so much. You know, I don't know why I worry so much. Oh, man, I got to stop worrying. And then you worry. It means about this. God's talking about this, casting our concerns to God. It's not being idle to the concerns. It's not knowing the situation. It's this: I know what the report is. I know what I've heard. I know what this is, a bad situation or a bad relationship, or I need to improve my job stuff. But I know that, but I'm going to do all I can to fix that. But I'm also not going to worry about it. I'm going to cast it to God. And it's like the fishing. I use this illustration. That casting, when it talks about casting concerns to God, it's like I'm fishing it out. I'm putting the line out there. And what happens to most of us? After we let it go for a day or two and God doesn't answer us, oh, God didn't answer my concern. What am I going to do? I what? I reel it back in. Well, God didn't do it, so now it's up to me. No. What he's saying there is cast it on God. I did all I can, and I'm casting it to the Lord. And it means cut the line then. God, I did all I can for this situation, but now I am trusting in you. I'm going to worry less, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to worry less, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to worry less, I'm going to pray more. God, it's up to you now. I did my part, you do yours. This other part of the relax and trust God is this, is for us workaholics. Now, I was guilty of this early in my ministry, and I have a wise wife, and she helped me walk through this situation. I told you I was a youth pastor, and our youth group was really growing, and we had a full-time traveling youth band, and we were asked to do a lot of youth camps and youth conferences and youth rallies and Jesus festivals. And so for about two years straight, I was working 60, 70, 80 hours every single week. I was working my youth pastor job at the church, and then I'd be going out traveling and speaking and doing all kinds of things. And it was good stuff. I mean, we were out there making a difference. But Joyce was at home with two little kids. In fact, Brittany, our oldest, was 3 and a half at the time, and our youngest, Kayla, was less than a year old. And I came home from about a six-week just traveling, going, not being at home type of thing, and Joyce had about had it. And so she greeted me at the door, and I had missed her. She missed me, and she heard the car, I'm sure. She came to the front door, and I greeted her with my luggage, and she just had a little look on her face and took me by the hand. I thought, yeah, I miss you too, baby. You know, and if I got to explain that to you, you know, maybe later. So we were walking through the house, and we got to the stairs up to the bedrooms, and we started going up the bedrooms. And we got to the top of the stairs, and instead of making a left where our room was, she made a right. She opened the door, and it was at night, and the kids were sleeping already. And she hadn't said anything yet the whole time she was holding my hand. We walked over there, and she goes, let me reintroduce you to your daughter, Brittany. She'd love to know her daddy someday. You know, she's growing up. You know what she's able to do now? You know what she's been, you know who her friends are? And Joyce went on this list of things that I had missed in doing all the rest. Whew. Talk about gripping my heart. So she grabbed my hand, didn't say another word, went over to our youngest daughter, Kayla's room. She goes, let me introduce you to your youngest daughter, Kayla. You know, she's almost a year old now. You know what? And she starts saying things about that I missed. And so she kind of let my hand go, and she was walking out. I was following her to our room, and she was ahead of me. She closed the room, and click, lock. I went, well, that didn't go like I thought it was going to go. But in the whole time, the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart, going, you need to make some adjustments in your walk. You can win all this and lose your family. So what's important? As a workaholic guy, I was trying to prove myself. I was trying to measure up. I was trying to accomplish great things. Nothing wrong in all in itself unless it's what takes away from the most important things in our lives. How many know it takes a little bit of effort to make those adjustments and do the right things? Make every effort. I need to relax and trust God for all the rest of the things that I was trying to build and do. You see, in our efforts of being a workaholic, I was trying to be God and do all that I could. I wasn't releasing things to the Lord. I was trying to do it all in my own strength and power. And that's some of us guys. We're like that. Some of us driven in personalities. Man, it's like, I'm going to accomplish this. And God said, whoa, wait a second. Relax. Trust me. Watch what I can do. And you know, God did all those other things and still restored that relationship with my kids. And today, my youngest daughter lives in Florida, and she calls me probably every other day, just telling me what's going on in her world. As I'm working out, she's working out, we're talking to each other. I don't think our relationship would be as tight as it is today if I didn't make that adjustment back then. Make every effort to trust God. Fourth one is this, last couple real quick, is make every effort to be an encourager. It says in Romans 14:19, it says, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. That word edification means encourager. In our world today, I believe this is something we as Christians can do. We can up our game here. We can make a little bit more effort to be encouragers in our society. Because everywhere you go, don't you hear negativity? Don't you see people lost without hope? Aren't there people struggling in the world and their life, and then they hear the bad news and all the things that are going on around them? There's so much negativity. We can be a light in a dark place by just being encouragers, by kind words we say and by kind deeds we do. So I know there's about 5,000 people that attend church here this Sunday. What if all 5,000 have made a pact, said we're going to increase our encouragement in our community? We're going to be out there to the waiters and the waitresses and those around us and the service people. Whatever we see, we're going to be speaking words of encouragement and doing deeds of encouragement. In fact, I've taken on this challenge this year. And, you know, God's been really speaking to me at different times to do that. But every now and then I get busy and I miss the Lord on these opportunities. In fact, a couple weeks ago, it was our day off, and we were coming out of Lowe's, one of our weekend favorite spots that we go to, because I'm always fixing something around the house. And so we went in to get something. I had my to-do list that day I needed to get checked off, and I said, come on, let's go. And we were in a hurry, rushed to the counter, grabbed my stuff real quick, and we were on our way out. In front of me is this elderly gentleman, and he was struggling, pulling one of those little carts, and he had about 20 bags of mulch on it. And he was really struggling just to pull it to his truck. I mean, he was going along, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, there's the opportunity to encourage somebody. I said, I got things to do today. You know, I kept on walking, and we got closer to our car, and I felt the Holy Spirit said, stop and encourage that guy. Help him out. Be an encouragement. And so I paused, and I went, okay, God, you got my attention. I gave the package that we had to Joyce. It was just a little one. I said, I'll meet you at the car. She goes, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going back to help this guy. And so I ran back, and he had just put his trunk, his tailgate down to his truck. And I looked at him and said, hey, how about I give you a hand with these? He looked at me and says, thank you. I didn't know how I was going to get all these up there. I said, come on, we can do this together. So he grabbed some. He grabbed about three of them. I said, you know what? Why don't I just do the rest? Why don't you just relax? Because he was already huffing and puffing and sweating because it was hot. So I just tossed the rest of them up there. And I said, I get my arm workout for the day, you know. And so I closed his tailgate. And I pat him on the back and said, man, have a great day. God loves you. And I walked away. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, that a boy. That's what I wanted you to do. Just give that word of encouragement. Just do that word and that deed of encouragement. What if we all sought those things out? How many know it's easy to see the negative in the world? It's easy to see the bad. What if we turn that around and say, man, you know what? I'm going to have a new outlook on life today. I'm going to start looking for the positive. I'm going to start looking to how I can encourage somebody at my office or at the job or my spouse or my family or in our world today. Would that make an impact in our community? Absolutely. But you know who's going to make more of an impact? It's going to make an impact on us. So make every effort to be an encourager. Last two is this, make every effort to be a peacemaker. It says in Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What's he saying? Conflict's going to come in your life, it's going to come in my life. Could come in your job, could come in your marriage. And you know what? Conflict even happens in the church. I know, it's hard for you to imagine that. I get it. It was hard for me. Man, it happens every now and then. We make a decision, and some people don't like it, believe it or not. And we have to deal with it. In fact, my first year, 7 years ago, my first 6 months being here on staff, I made a decision as a leader, and I oversee all the adult classes. And we made a decision to give the classes a 2-week break, just so the teachers could have a break, people could have a break, we could start off a new semester. And I told all the teachers to announce it that Sunday in their classes. And I was standing outside one of our larger classes. And immediately, as soon as that class was over, man, this older lady that was in there, she made a beeline right towards me. I mean, she was not happy about it. She was coming over to me, you know, and she was mad. And she was hot and it was steaming. She was like, you are going to ruin our class. And you're going to ruin all the classes here. And you're bringing the devil in. In fact, I think you are the devil. Okay. How many of it took every effort to be kind to that woman? Every now and then it takes every effort. In fact, I just let her kind of go, and I was ready to give her the riot act back. I thought, I'm going to pull my pastor card, and how dare you talk to a pastor that way, blah, 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 blah. And I felt the Holy Spirit go, no, just be kind to her. Just be kind to her. So instead, I just kind of paused. I started patting her on the shoulder, gave her that little grin that probably made her even more mad, you know. It's like, you know, hey, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. Trust me. You know, and I'm still patting her, smiling. Long story short, months later, I mean, she couldn't look at me. If she saw me, she went the other way, couldn't look at me for a while. Months later, she started coming over, and I just was kind, waving at her, smiling, patting her on the shoulder, waving at her, patting her on the shoulder, waving at her, patting her on the shoulder. Pretty soon, we gave a little side hugs because she saw that it wasn't going to destroy the class. She saw it wasn't going to do anything, but it helped grow the class. And so she started coming on my side. And so pretty soon she was giving me a full hug. And it was like, hey, good to see you. And she would bring food to her class. And she'd go, I made you something special. And so I took the food. I thought that was sweet of her, but I still didn't eat it because I didn't know if she still thought I was the devil. So what did I do? I gave it to the next class. Anyhow, and they all survived. So I missed out on all this crazy work. What am I saying? It did more for me. But it took, what, every effort inside of me to do that. Last one is this, and we'll close. Make every effort to keep growing. Make every effort to keep growing. In 2 Peter 1, it says this. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, knowledge. Knowledge, self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Now look at this. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, it's the same word we looked at. Jesus kept increasing that growing, that cutting as one through the jungle. They will keep you from being what? Ineffective and unproductive. As followers of Christ, we have an opportunity to keep on growing. You say, Bob, well, I tried those things. Man, I'm trying to grow in my walk with God, I'm trying to be a man or woman of integrity and give grace and peace and forgiveness and do the peace and kindness thing. And I'm trying to be an encourager and trying to relax, but I find in my own strength I can't do it. And guess what? You're right. In our strength, we can't. I've tried a lot of times to do it in my own strength, but we need the power of Jesus Christ to help us. Let's look at our last scripture, then we'll close. Ephesians talks about that in Ephesians 1. 17, it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that keep asking means what? I'm keep on pressing forward. I'm keep on growing. I'm keep on making the effort to ask God that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Come on, guys, gals. Isn't that our heartbeat? Isn't that why we come on Sunday? So we get to know him better, get to know God better. And it takes extra effort to do those things. And if you've tried it in your own strength, what does it take? It says, man, the same power is available to us to overcome, to do those extra things that's available to us as followers of Christ that helped raise Christ from the dead. You have that power within inside of you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that that power is available to us as followers of Christ. God, we thank you that in our own strength, we're not able to do that, but God, through the power of Jesus Christ living inside of us, we can be overcomers. God, you can help us through every situation and circumstance. We can become men and women of integrity. We can forgive others. God, we can be the encouragers. God, we can relax and really trust you instead of worrying about situations. Father, we can be a peacemaker in this world that is living and operating in turmoil. God called us to live differently as peacemakers. And God, we want to keep on growing. We want to keep getting to know you in a greater way. So God, help us. Strengthen us today by your power, by your Holy Spirit, we pray. Now as your eyes are closed and heads are bowed this morning, you may have walked in here and said, Bob, I don't even have a relationship with Jesus. Well, today's your day. We want to give you an opportunity to say yes to the Lord. If you want to say, man, I want to surrender my heart to Christ. I need that strength to make it through the week. Or maybe you want to come back to the Lord. You've been away from Him and say, man, I just want to return to the Lord. I want you to do in the next 3 seconds, just lift up your hand real high, just between me and you. We're not going to call you forward or embarrass you. Just all over the audience. Come on, next 5 seconds, let's do it. Let's raise our hands and say, man, I want to come back to the Lord, or I want to say yes for the very first time. Yeah, all over the place. Yeah, come on, just keep your hands up just for another 5 seconds. Man, what a beautiful scene, as many people just said, man, today's my day. Yeah, you can put your hands down. Now, if you raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with all of us today as we make Jesus our Lord and Savior one more time. Let's just pray this prayer. Say, dear God, come on, everybody say it. Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead right now. I confess You as my Lord and as my Savior. As the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. And I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I've said yes to You. Amen. Let's give those a hand that raised their hands this morning in that declaration. So proud of all of you guys.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about The Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.